Shalom, Havarim. Welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and very best friend, minister and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, saints of God. Thanks for tuning in. Please bow your hearts with us in prayer.
Holy Father, in our everlasting El Shaddai, we praise and exalt you, Most High God. As we patiently wait for your trumpet call, let us stay awake of who we are through your Son, being steadfast to finish the race you have set before each of us. We lift up our granddaughter Autumn to your healing throne. These petitions and the prayers of those listening right now, especially for all our unsaved loved ones' salvation. Father God, bless this teaching tonight. And please, bless America, as we who are called by your name accept that your will is to fulfill prophecy. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Let's exalt him in everything. Well, as usual, much is happening. North Korea set off another failed missile, and President Trump says if they test fire any nuclear missiles, like they did last year, then all options are on the table. And as we said last week, the globalists are itching to make a move, and just about any excuse will be used to justify another war. However, President Trump said Sunday he would agree to meet with Kim Jong-un, and in fact, it would be an honor.
Really? An honor?
Yep. He said it in an interview with Bloomberg News. Hope he wasn't serious. But anyway, Congress is still working on a health care bill and a final tax bill, of which the president presented an outline last week. And yes, it will help the rich, but also the middle class, increase jobs, and eventually lower the debt.
Although first it will increase.
Most definitely. He really has had a lot of accomplishments for only 100 days, and we mentioned many of those last week, and they are listed in April's newsletter that just went out.
What about that spending bill that just passed?
Oh, yeah, right. A spending bill was passed to avoid a government shutdown, and that's only until September. But he didn't get any money for the wall, and the Democrats are pretty happy over Trump's caving in on many areas, as in still funding Planned Parenthood and continued money going to sanctuary cities. It even funds Obamacare subsidies. And there's more. So why? Well, because we have fake Republicans in Congress. So it will stay divided. These moderates who are really very left-wing.
Yeah, I think we turn them rhinos.
Yeah. Purposely placed there to dismantle all conservative thinking. You know, I once saw, it was like an historical political documentary, and this was years ago, but they admitted openly that because the Democrats lost an election, they said it was time for many of them to turn Republican and infiltrate to keep their liberal agenda alive. It's happening. It's happening a lot right now. As we've been talking about in the Kushners, and even Trump used to be a Democrat. Hopefully he changed because he had a rude awakening. But we need to move on.
Okay, what's the latest on Israel? I hear President Trump will be visiting there soon.
Yes, around May 22nd. And I'm sure this peace treaty will be discussed. But Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas will be at the White House tomorrow, so before Trump meets with Netanyahu.
Lots going on surrounding this peace deal, you know.
It is indeed. Meanwhile, last Thursday there were massive explosions on the outskirts of Syria's main airport by Israel because they were actually acting to... Well, Israel wanted to prevent the transfer of sophisticated weapons to Hezbollah in Lebanon, going through Syria, of course, from Iran. Arab media confirms that warehouses of weapons used by Hezbollah and Iran are stored at the Damascus airport.
Isaiah 17 comes to mind.
As it should. And then yesterday, as May kicked in over here, we watched violent and destructive protesting in about 200 cities and 41 states. But yesterday, at least, Israel peacefully celebrated 69 years of independence. So they have now entered their 70th year.
That's a very important number.
Well, it's certainly a generation, although Psalm 90 infers it can be 80. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24:34, to the generation that sees the fig tree blossom, that some of those would still be alive at his return. We know the fig tree represents Israel. Hosea 9 infers that. So, yet another big clue that we are drawing closer.
Maybe this year.
Always a maybe. But there are many signs, as I wrote about in April's newsletter. I hope you're on that list. And that's the number one clue to watch for. And again, it's the Daniel 9:27 covenant to be signed between this man of perdition, along with many others, and Daniel's people, being Israel. Many serious covert meetings are going on right now, trying to bring about some sort of compromise. Maybe even this year it could happen.
So, do you have a question or a comment? There are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office, and please be sure to leave a very detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. And prayerfully consider tucking in a gift of love, which can also be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, which automatically adds your name to our mailing list for news updates and monthly teaching letters. And this Friday, we will be at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road, that's Route 306, in Chesterland, Ohio, for a timely biblical teaching with updated prophetic news. And it's open forum, so you're escatologically theological questions are answered.
I love how you do that. Anyway, thank you, dear. We are we began taking a closer look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 last week. It really is a very informative chapter when read exegetically.
Well, I'm glad I had to say that one. You can now take a closer look at the meanings of words.
Yes, that's what exegesis means. Mm-hmm. Yes, which we are doing. So let's give a quick overview from last week. In fact, to confirm the correct context, please read verses 1 through 4 using a more correct interpretation. And by the way, the very first verse tells us the context. And you're going to see it's the rapture.
Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the departure comes first.
So it's easily understood that the tribulation cannot begin until after the rapture, when we are gathered together to meet him in the air. And we shared last week how some very good Greek scholars said the falling away means departure. And in this instance, because of the first verse, it is not falling away from the faith, but departing the earth. If it was the faith, as an example in 1 Timothy 4, the Greek word he used there was actually epistemi. But here in 2 Thessalonians 2, departure is apostasia, which could be departing from the faith if Paul hadn't have made it clear what he was addressing in verse 1.
You know, it makes total sense when you take it apart like that.
Oh, it really does. And, you know, some Bible footnotes, as in the Amplified Version, suggest departing the earth could be the meaning. And another point is the much earlier Bibles of Wycliffe and Tyndale and others use the word departure, not only because of the context, but as well the definite Greek article used before the noun, which indicates specific time-bound qualities. And that is huge. So, dear, could you please reread verse 3 and read 4 as well?
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the departure comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God.
So, we know there will be another temple, but really for the Antichrist, who will defile it. And we also know, because of history, how Rome has always wanted Jerusalem, because it's God's specific area of worship. And that's as far as we went last week, but let me reiterate an important idiom. That day of the Lord begins on the first day of the 7,000th year from the creation of Adam at the rapture, and continues till the end of the 1,000 years to include the Messianic kingdom, and is that seventh day of a literal Sabbath rest for us. Now, right now, we are in our spiritual Sabbath rest, but the literal rest is coming soon.
Got to keep the faith growing.
Definitely. Okay, dear, would you read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8?
Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming.
Don't you remember I told you these things?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound familiar, honey?
Amazingly so.
Okay. So this confirms that Paul had already spoke to them about this. But I'm so glad he retold them in a letter so we would be privy to this fantastic chapter of such important information. Verse 6 says, there is a reason for us still being here. Now, what is really restraining us?
Time.
Exactly. Because the Antichrist cannot be revealed till his time. And we know from Hebraic roots teaching and biblical typology of the creation narrative, that's not till the end of 6,000 years. And only God really knows when that is. Then at our departure, which begins the seventh day or the 7,000th year, it's an eschatological puzzle that has to fit. So the first 7 years, or the tribulation period, is like the night, the dark part of that day.
Which is why God, and still the Jews today, begin each date on the calendar at sundown.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Because the spiritual darkness of the tribulation comes first, and then the light. In this case, Jesus will return to be both the spiritual and the literal light of the world. And he'll do that at the end of the tribulation. And then he'll set up his messianic kingdom. So we see in verse 7 that he, that would be the Holy Spirit, is restraining our leaving for now because it's not in the fullness of time.
Yeah, it has nothing to do when the last person gets saved.
Right. It's all about time.
Time.
Now, we know also in this verse that when the bride leaves, the Holy Spirit, as in us, leaves too. Then at that moment, all the spiritual light is gone. There is complete spiritual darkness, which will allow Satan and his fallen angels and his demons to gain excessively more power because there is now no restraining him. There's a great scripture in Amos 5:20. Can you read that?
Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it?
Wow.
Heavy.
Yeah. This also confirms we are not here for any part of the tribulation. Or do they who think so think they are not the light? Think about that. As soon as the bride is gone, Daniel's final 7 years of his prophecy from Daniel 9, 24 through 27 begins. Probably on a Yom Kippur, where God's focus, his attention, goes back to Israel for their judgment and their salvation. Still another reason why we have to leave. You know, the church was not here for the first 483 years of Daniel's prophecy concerning Israel. And we cannot be here for the final 7 years because it's all about Israel. There has been a gap of time to allow the Gentiles to come in. And it's called the church age. Now we see in verse 8, which is very specific, that says, and then the lawless one will be revealed. So after the departure, then he will be revealed to those left behind. The question always arises, and is probably in your thoughts too, how do the tribulation saints turn to righteousness without the Holy Spirit? And my question to you is, how did they turn to righteousness in the Old Testament? How about David? When we leave, the Holy Spirit then comes and goes as he desires, just like he did in the Old Testament. Because Daniel's prophecy began in the Old Testament and so must revert back to the Old Testament to finish the prophecy. That's why we see the sacrificial system coming back and the temple about to be rebuilt. We, the bride, is amazingly fortunate to have God residing inside each one of us. And it's the word that increases his presence in us. More word, more Jesus, more Holy Spirit, and yes, God too, the Trinity, three in one, package deal. When you really focus on that, it's absolutely uniquely breathtaking. Remember, even David prayed, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You know, we never have to pray that. So the Holy Spirit will return as needed for the tribulation saints, although they are not indwelled like the bride with the Holy Spirit, which is why Satan can overcome them. So says Revelation 13:7. But right before the tribulation, just before it officially kicks off, at the confirmation of that treaty, the Holy Spirit will give a double anointing seal of protection to who will then be righteous, 144,000 or 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel, who, by the way, are no longer lost. And we read that in Revelation 7. Now, from my studies of the appointments of our Lord, I believe there will be about a week between our leaving and the signing of the covenant of Daniel 9:27. Now, verse 8 goes on to say, the Lord will consume the lawless one when he returns. So let's continue in verses 9 and 10 because it's pretty straightforward. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. How sad to hear that. The tribulation saints will get saved pretty quickly, for they will not be deceived. And a lot of that is because of what we, the bride, are conveying to all who will listen as to what to do when they see millions of people disappear. You see, that is the trigger that opens many eyes. Yes, there will be those that are deceived. They'll take the mark and worship the beast. That, in a sense, changes their DNA to evil, and they will perish. So you see why, even if you feel they won't listen now, you are still planting seeds that can sprout after the rapture. And probably most will. So we can't stop. Don't be a lazy Laodicean Christian. I hear it a lot. Oh, I'm not going to bother witnessing to them. They're not going to get saved anyway. Stop that thinking. That is satanic. You've got to keep planting those seeds. And when they see that rapture, because you've told them what to look for, they'll get on their knees. There's no reason why anyone you know, anybody that's in your family, should go to hell, because we're living in those last days. Yeah, they might not be the bride, but they'll still be in the kingdom. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. And you know how to get that power? Is you got to stay in the Word, because if you're not in the Word, you won't feel like it. I'll tell you that right now. Let me finish with verse 11. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, what is that lie? Well, it's who God really is and who His Son is. 1 John 2:22 says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son, and have pleasure in unrighteousness." That surely is most of the world today. Surely in America. All about me, myself and I. What's in it for me? And immorality today is off the charts. And now, I understand cannibalism is growing with even a TV series about its acceptance. The cults think by drinking human blood and eating the flesh, it gives them power. That's what Satan tells them. And you know what? It probably does give them some power, because it's coming from Satan. This is really bad and belongs to evil giants who really did eat people. That's for another night. All right, verse 13, and we'll finish. "But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you." Listen heartily to this. "Brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel, for obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." You've got to have that discernment. There's so much wrong teaching out there now. They're not standing by first century tradition or anything. So stay in your Word. And do you know your Savior who has paid your debt for sin? That's the real question. You don't want to pay it yourself. It's your choice who pays. He's knocking on the door of your heart saying, "Why won't you accept my free gift to you?" And it's given in agape love, the highest kind. Yep. It's pretty perplexing why everyone doesn't grab it. I'll leave you now with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you that peace. Shalom till next week. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.